Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Kathy Kleiner was sound asleep in her bed at the Kyle Mega House. It was 1978 when the notorious serial killer Ted Bundy broke into her sorority house and went on a murderous rampage. When he ran out of the house that night, the crime spree was not over. Kathy was just 20 years old when she was attacked. Later, she heroically faced him in court. This monster that killed her friends and sorority sisters and attacked her and her roommate. She stared him down. She felt like it was up to her to put him away. Kathy and her roommate survived this brutal attack, but two of her sorority sisters did not. She has had a road to recovery that continues to this day. The effects of her attack are forever. She had surgery not too long ago. Kathy Kleiner is my friend. She is fun, she's loyal, she's smart, she is full of life. She, hands down, has the most positive outlook of anyone that I know. The attack by Ted Bundy is only part of her life story. It ain't the end. It is my great honor and privilege to introduce my friend, Kathy Kleiner.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, this is long overdue. We have talked about doing it. We tried to do it a couple times and storms and technical issues, other things stopped us, but we are here tonight. Listen, your life did not start or end with Ted Bundy, but let's start when you were 12 years old. What challenge did you have at even that young of an age?
When I was 12 years old, actually, I was in sixth grade. Toward the end of the year, I became very sick. I had a fever and I couldn't get out of bed. I was so, so tired. So my parents took me to the doctor and I was admitted to the hospital for 3 months. And I laid there in the hospital and I was afraid and I was scared, and family members would come and meet me during the day, but it seemed at night I was always by myself. And I was ready to go home and be a kid again. But the doctors instead told my parents that I should be taken home and made comfortable because they really didn't know what was wrong with me. They had no idea why my kidneys were stopping or why I was so tired all the time. So during this time, they sent me home and a doctor approached my parents. She says, she was from Cuba. I think she has lupus, which was very unknown and very rare at someone at my age. So they ran tests, and she says, I'd like to give her experimental chemo. So she did, and about the second time I had to take the chemo, my hair fell out. It all fell out. I had no hair. I was bald. And I was home. I was home alone. I could look out the window and see the kids play, but I couldn't go out, and they couldn't come in because they were afraid they'd get me sick because I was on chemo. So while I'm home, my parents were working. I'm completely bald and I get so bored during the day. I actually picked up the phone and dialed zero so I could talk to the operator. And sometimes they would talk to me. But toward the end of the year, at the end of the seventh grade, I started feeling better. My hair started growing in. And I asked my parents if I could get out of the house. So we went to church one week. And not a week later, I came home and had shingles. So now I have shingles all over my face. I'm bald. And I could not wait to go back outside and make friends again. The last thing I cared was how I looked. It was more how I feel. And I felt like I was going to be great. I had no idea how sick I was, but I was over staying home. And that's when I knew I can get through this. I want to get through it for my parents and for my family and for me. I want to be able to go out and play again.
Unbelievable. And now, let's fast forward a little bit. It's time to go to college. Arguably some of the best 4 years of your life. You are going to hit the road. You're leaving your parents' house. You want this independence. You plan on rushing a sorority. And honey, you're going to be at FSU. Florida State University is a fantastic university. Great students, great location, and a ton of fun.
Yes, it was.
So you head out and you decide to rush Chi Omega, and then you move into the house. Why did you move into the house?
Originally, when I was a freshman, I was in a dormitory, and my parents were so worried that it was not a safe place for me to be in, that they worried someone could come into the dorm and hurt me or hurt the other women. So they were just uncomfortable with me being in the dorm. So they made arrangements during the summer of 1977. They made arrangements for me to move into the Chi Omega house. They thought it was so much safer living there. There was a house mother, and there were locks on the door, and there were 40 girls living in the sorority house. And how safer could it be for me?
And you were on the second floor. I mean, that's even safer.
Yes. When you entered the Chi Omega house, as soon as you walked in through the foyer, there was a wooden staircase that was beautiful, and it went up to the second floor. And my bedroom was on the second floor. It faced the back of the house, which overlooked the parking lot. We had a beautiful bank of windows in our bedroom, and we always kept the curtains open because we wanted to have the light in. So we hung curtain rods and plants from the curtain rods so we couldn't close them. But our room was great. We had a desk on each side and a desk and then a dresser. And then our footboards to our bed were next, and then our headboard was parallel to the wall at the back of the room. So our bed headboards were against the wall of the back room. It was great. It was always sunny in there, and it was a great environment to be in.
And honey, there was no way for you to know that you were about to come into contact with a stranger that had already killed dozens of young women in Washington State, Utah, and Colorado. So tell us, January 15th, around 3 a.m., what happens?
Around 3 o'clock in the morning, someone noticed that the back door of the sorority house, the back door that led to the rec room, was broken. Someone picked up a log from the piece of firewood that was laid outside by the back door. He picked it up and walked through the rec room, into the foyer, and up those beautiful wooden staircases. He turned the corner to the first hall, which was the hall where my room was. The first room he came to was unlocked. He opened the door, and that was Margaret's room. He attacked her with the club that he had picked up, and he strangled her, and he killed her. And then he left the sheets right next to her chin so it looked like she was sleeping. He left her room and closed the door. He walked across the hall to the next room. The room was Lisa. He went into her room, he closed the door, and he attacked her with the same log that he had just used to kill Margaret. She was not killed. She was left for dead. But before he walked out of her room, he bit her. and his mouth bite mark was actually like fingerprints, and it left two impressions on her body. He closed the door, crossed the hall. The door was open, and that was my room. Sound asleep. It was around 3 a.m. Sound asleep, but I heard our door open and swish against the carpet. And it was just enough noise to bring me out of conscious of deep sleep. And I heard the noise, and I didn't recognize what it was, but it was something that woke me up. Between our twin beds, we had a small footlocker, which was a small chest, and we had our books on it and different things, my glasses and different things on it. So when this person came into our room, it was dark because it was 3 a.m. and the room was dark. And I heard something really loud. And what it was this guy tripped over that little footlocker as he was coming to my side of the bed. He made so much noise now I could open my eyes. And in the dark, all I could see was a silhouette of someone standing next to me. He raised his arm up over his head. And I could tell he had something in his hand. I didn't know what it was. And he slammed it down on my face so hard that he broke my jaw in 3 places. My cheek was torn open so you could see the teeth on the inside of my mouth. My tongue was almost broken off. I had bit through it so tight. And my chin did not have any bone in it, so they had to create bone as I was in the emergency room being taken care of that night. So this is my state, and I'm confused. And then he heard my roommate make noise. He attacked my roommate when she woke up, and he left her for dead. He thought he had hit her so hard. Meanwhile, I'm in the bed next to this, and I'm screaming, and I'm yelling, and all I was doing was making gurgly sound. I held my cheek with my hands, and all they were was hot and sticky. When I heard this noise coming back toward my bed, I had made myself into the smallest little ball I could make myself and hid under the sheet because I felt if he didn't see me, he wouldn't hear me. He wouldn't kill me. I was so quiet. He had that club and he was going to come down on my face again. And I knew it. I knew he was mad. And I just knew this next blow was going to kill me. But as he raised his arm again up over his head, the light in the room shone really bright. It was a bright light. And I could see the shape of him now. I could see someone standing there. And the light was so bright. And it was the lights from a car that was bringing home a date late that night. And the car light shone up into the room, illuminated it. And then he turned around and left the parking lot. And the room grew dark again. But before it was dark, this person thought he had been seen. So he ran out our bedroom door, ran down those stairs, and ran out the front door. And I'm crying, and I'm hurt. I didn't know what I was doing. Like I said, I was screaming, but no sound was coming out. My roommate woke up and went out in the hallway to get help. Sorority sister found her, or saw her standing there, took her back into our room and turned on the light. And that's when she saw me on my side of the bed. And I'm sitting up holding my face. And there's blood on the wall. And I'm covered in blood. And she became ill and called for other sorority sisters to come in. At that point, my roommate had also been attacked. And she was full of blood. The next thing I remember is that they called 911. The girls called for help. I remember there was a police officer when I woke up and he was standing at the head of the bed and just looked at me with such caring eyes, like it's going to be okay. It'll be all right. I'm here now. And through all the shock and everything going through, I saw him and I knew I was going to be okay. I didn't know who had done this, but I knew he wasn't come back and hurt me as long as there was a police officer standing next to me.
Hmm.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Now you've got this police officer there and you feel safe, even though you haven't left the sorority house yet where you were attacked.
Yes, the paramedics came and attended to my wounds.
Well, here you have been brutally attacked. How did you get out of the sorority house?
The paramedics that came to take care of me put me on a stretcher and carried me down those beautiful wooden staircases that wasn't as pretty as I thought they were. And they went to take me out of the front doors of the house. And it was so cold. It had turned damp and rainy. It was a terrible night. And I had around me was that reflective blanket, silver reflected. And that was to keep me warm. But I was shivering and scared. And as they walked me out of the front door onto the sidewalk, I saw the police lights and the fire truck lights and the ambulance lights, and everything was swirling around. And I could hear the walkie-talkies speaking, the police, the ambulance, and it squawked so loud. I actually thought for a few minutes I was at a carnival. And I felt safe at a carnival because you're not scared there. You're okay. And so a few minutes later, my carnival went away, and I was taken into the ambulance and taken to the hospital.
I can't imagine that chaos. I can't imagine being so disoriented that you even for a moment could think you were at a carnival. But I understand your visual. When you got into the ambulance, did the police officer go with you?
He was right behind the door. When they closed the door, it was the paramedics and myself that went to the hospital. But as soon as they took me into the hospital emergency room, he was right there again, right next to me. And I think he felt as much as I did that I needed protection, because no one knew who did this to me or if they're around the corner or coming back. So I think this policeman felt as protective of me as I needed of him. So as I'm in the operating room and they're doing all the things they needed to do, they cut off my beautiful flannel yellow nightgown, which I had gotten at Christmas. And it was just a weird time. It was just, I couldn't comprehend anything. And then they gave me the pain meds so I could calm down. And then I really don't remember anything after that until I woke up in my hospital room.
At what point did you learn about the other sorority sisters that had been murdered?
It was about 2 weeks later. I had already been taken home to Miami to recuperate at my parents' house. And my mother had me watching TV, but only soap operas and only TV game shows, because she did not want me to hear the news, because she was afraid that I would be upset and she wanted to keep me calm. I had my jaw wired at that point, and it was tied around my mouth so I couldn't speak. And when I read the newspaper, you picked it up and there were square articles that were cut out of the newspaper. And each article was about Bundy or the Chi Omega house or anything to do with the attack. So she cut everything out so I wouldn't read about it. So I read the newspaper kind of sparingly. And that's when I found out about 2 weeks later, they had found Bundy. They found him in Pensacola when he was trying to leave the state on a traffic violation. They went ahead and arrested him. And that's when the police officers in Leon County in Tallahassee and the officers right outside of Pensacola, they were the two putting things together. And that's how they thought he was the one that came into our sorority house.
Yeah, that was unbelievable teamwork and police work simultaneously. So now it's time for the trial. And you've got to go to the courthouse a couple of times. What occurred during the first visit to the courthouse for you?
The first time I was taken in, I was subpoenaed for the deposition. And I walked into this big room with a long conference table. And on each side of the table, there were the defense lawyers, and the prosecution sat on the other side of the table. And I sat down and I looked up, and at the head of the table on the other end sat Ted Bundy. And I looked at him and I just stared at him, because all the buildup and everything about being Ted Bundy, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't scared. I just looked at a guy who was like really fidgety and seemed not to have any self-worth, or he just kind of sat there. And I looked at him and I saw dark eyes. I didn't see what color they were. I just saw black. And I did not put a horn or horns on him, because I had not gotten that far into understanding how the law system worked. So that was the first time I saw Ted Bundy after the attack.
So you're saying you didn't put horns on him because you didn't see him as the devil?
No, I did not. At that point, I was scared and I looked at something at the other end, and it wasn't normal what I was looking at. But in my mind, I thought he was the devil, but I just mentally put horns on him and made that my feeling.
So then you had to go to the trial, gotten a subpoena, you've gone to the courthouse once and had to stare him down, and now you've gone through the grand jury and a trial is set. And you know, I've just got to say, you lived through something and were able to give information and knowledge about something that is super rare. I think it's such a gift that you're able to tell law enforcement, tell criminologists, tell all these experts what this rampage sounded like. And I just think the way you were telling us about the bedroom, the way he came in quietly, the way he picked the log up on the way in so he didn't even bring the weapon with him. He was just going to room to see which doors were unlocked. And he was attacking people he had never spoken to, had never stalked, didn't know. That is so important, because prior to that, you had a ton of people that would have believed in an event like that, there would have been so much noise. He would have been yelling and screaming, "I'm going to kill you all," and making threats and maybe grunting and moaning. But to you, there was nothing. He never said a word.
That's true. He just walked in, and the only noise I heard was when he tripped over that little footstool that we had between our beds. And that's when I woke up, and that's the first noise I had. But he didn't speak to us. He didn't say anything. He was just doing this like a madman. He was quiet and stealth, and he was getting his job done.
See how important that is, though, even when people ask questions about the four college students that were killed in Moscow, Idaho. And they say, well, the other two roommates had to have heard something. Not according to an expert that I know who lived through it when four college students were attacked in the same house. Not a word was spoken. And that's critical information. So I just wanted to say how much I appreciated that. So now the trial is set and you're living with your parents in Miami and you've got to come back for trial. What happens?
The day set for the morning of the trial for me to testify, and I woke up in the morning and I put on my pretty red dress and my white sandals, and I was so pretty. I put my hair up and it looked like I was going somewhere else other than a trial for someone that had attempted to kill me. So it was my turn to go on the witness stand, and I walked up and I sat down and I looked around the room. There was the jury. There was the prosecuting at one table. There was the defense on the other table. And next to them was Ted Bundy, sitting again, looking at me. I never took my eyes off of him. And as he was sitting, he had his elbow on the table and he had his chin cupped up in his hand. And he looked like, you know, this is a waste of my time. I'm never going to be convicted. The whole time, every time I saw him, he was just like so full of himself, like this was a waste of his time. No one would convict him of doing anything wrong. And then I testified. And one of the questions the defense attorneys asked was, is this the man you accuse of attacking you in your room that night in the Chi Omega sorority house? And I looked at Ted Bundy, and I had to shake my head and say, no, I didn't know if that was him, because I never saw his face. And it hurt me so much that I couldn't help convict him. I couldn't help to say the things that I wanted to say so that the jury knew my feelings. And so I said no, and that was the end of my witness. I had to get up and leave the witness box.
Well, I just want to say something. I am your friend, and I love you, and I respect you, but this is not the reason I am saying what I'm about to say. Nobody could hear your testimony about how this person walked into your room with a log that he had already killed two people with and bludgeon you, and then go to your roommate and bludgeon her, and was on his way back to you when only a hand of God moment stopped him. There's no way that testimony didn't help convict him, honey, because you were the only person that could describe what went on in that room, in that space, in that moment. You're the only one. Without you, there's suspicion, there's conjecture, we don't know what room he went into first. But because of you, we know, and we know that he did it without saying a word.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
None of this is easy. None of this is easy to bring back up and talk about, but your willingness to do it helps so many people. It helps young police officers. It helps rookie detectives. It helps veteran detectives. It helps people understand, if I'm going to be on a jury and they're asking me, could the other two people in Moscow, Idaho not have heard a whole bunch of talking and threats and hollering and screaming? I can answer that for them. Because of you, I know that with 100% clarity.
It was true. And I'm thinking about that evening right now. And I put myself in that same position. And I see that light in my room. And I know that's the light that was going to help me live. I knew he wasn't going to hit me with the light on. And I saw him being squirrely and antsy. And that's when he left the room. And I was still in my littlest ball. But I could tell the room got dark again. And I just knew he was going to come back and kill me. But he didn't. He left the sorority house because of the light that shone up into my room.
And speaking of that, you wrote a book with the greatest title. It's called A Light in the Dark, Surviving More Than Ted Bundy by Kathy Kleiner. It's an awesome book, Kathy. I mean, you have poured your whole life into this thing. Now, when you were at trial, did you have a chance to see your detective, or were y'all kept separate since you were both witnesses?
We were kept separate. Well, there was a conference room, and all the people were the people involved, the police officers, and then the paramedics and the other people involved were in that room. And I saw the policeman, and I went and got the biggest hug because he was the one that I felt saved me. He was standing over me and he was protecting me. And I gave the paramedics such hugs, because they're the ones that put me back together until I could get to the hospital. And all these grand people, I give my heart out to. And also someone I knew that was working behind the scenes was Ken Casares. He was the sheriff of Leon County, and he was in charge of the prison there. And I know he had his people behind him working. But he was always, in my mind, one of the greatest people I can remember, because he did take care of Bundy. He did see it through. He saw that he was executed. And I would love to ask him questions about that, because there's so many I would have. And I'd like to talk to him and let him help explain himself and what he was feeling. So I look forward to talking to Ken Casares.
You know, there's nothing like a battle buddy. And the two of y'all have had such an amazing road to justice. You know, you're talking about one of the biggest serial killers known in the United States, one of the most famous for sure. And you're talking about somebody that helped put him away, just like you did. Y'all being able to reconnect and talk about the way you saw it and talk about the way he saw it. I think it would be a powerful thing if he just knew how much his presence and the presence of the other officers helped you, because he may not know that.
I hope he does. in my heart, I think he does, because so many years I've held on to him. And I saw him as my protector and Bundy's executor. And it's always been in my heart that way. And I have such respect and such love for police officers. They were sent at my house in Miami because they weren't sure it was Bundy at first. So there was a police officer by my door, by my front door. And I remember my mom used to go outside and offer lemonade and cookies. And there was a police officer across the street in a marked car. Just sit there, and there she'd go across the street with lemonade and cookies. So these people for 2 weeks became someone we got to know. And my mouth was all wired shut and my face was bandaged. And I would look out the front door and see them and knew I was safe again. I knew someone was going to come in the back door, in the front door, and hit me or hurt me, because those police officers were following through and they were my help.
So you've had lupus, you've been attacked by Ted Bundy, but your life is now going to have another challenge. You are diagnosed with breast cancer.
I was 34 years old. I had remarried from my first marriage, and I was happy, and we wanted to have a baby. So I went to a GYN who was familiar with lupus and went to him to have a free test, a healing test, to make sure I was healthy enough. And he found a lump in my breast. There was no history of breast cancer on either side of my family. So we went in and aspirated the lump. And I went in and had a radical mastectomy. And all my glands were taken out from under my arms. Then I had to go through reconstruction surgery after my removal of my breast. I had 8 months of chemo to look forward to. And I was sad and I was mad and I was hurt and I would pray. And I had all these feelings like, not again, you know, no chemo, anything else but chemo. But no, that was what I had to do. So I went in and I lost part of my hair. I never became bald like I did before. So I went to the doctor's office, to the clinic, and had a chemo session. And then a couple of weeks later, I had to go in and have another clinic session. And I told my husband, I have one more to go. I have one more chemo to go. And he goes, no, you have 7 more to go. I said, no, I have one. I can get through one, but I don't know if I can get through 7. So every week when it was time, I took my chemo and I only had one more left to do. And when I did finish that last chemo, it felt so good. And my husband and I then wanted to try to have a baby. We became pregnant, and at 12 weeks, I had a miscarriage. Now, I know women have miscarriages, and I feel their pain. I really do. But I could take care of myself. I can get through things, but I couldn't help my baby. I couldn't do anything to make it right for my baby. That was hard. That was a hard time for us. And then about 9 months after that, I became pregnant again. And again, at 12 weeks, I had another miscarriage. And I knew I couldn't do this anymore. I couldn't mentally, physically, I just didn't want to do it anymore. So my husband and I talked about it. And we decided we were fine. We didn't need a baby. But we did go out and buy a sailboat. And we named her Sally. And that was our new baby.
So I know while you were recuperating from all the injuries from the attack by Ted Bundy, you had a way of dealing with that that was just beautiful. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I can. First off, I tried every day to do something to put me in a happy place. Either I went outside and sat down and had the sun on my face, or I do my nails, or I take a walk. Any little thing I could think of to break up my week or my day. But one of the biggest things I did is right after the attack, I felt like I had this black monster behind me, kind of in a black cloak and just wrapped around me. And it was horrible and it was scary and it hurt me. And I didn't want to live like this. I didn't want to live in a box and I didn't want to live scared because I had been through too much with lupus and I knew how good it was on the other side. But this Bundy attack kind of put me in a deeper space. And I was mad. I was mad at the sorority for me having to leave them. I was mad for having to leave the university and the Chi Omega sisters. So I was in a bad place and I didn't want to live like that. So I looked out way out in the ocean with a little bitty island. And on the island was a little palm tree and one little sand chair. And I wanted to get to that island because I thought I needed to. So I took baby steps. I took baby steps toward that island. It must have taken me maybe a week and a half with my baby steps. I couldn't do them every day. Some days I just didn't want to do it. And I gave in and felt sorry for myself. But when I did, I took baby steps and I looked behind me and this black mass was baby steps behind me. So I kept going to my island and I finally reached it. And I sat in the chair, put my toes in the sand, and I looked up and there was no black mass ahead of me. This thing, this feeling, this scared just peace was totally gone. I had walked baby steps away from it. And I felt so good for myself, so strong now that I knew I can get through this. But then I had another issue that I was afraid of men. And it wasn't so much I thought all men were going to attack me. It was just in a certain situation where I was uncomfortable or something, I felt like a man could hurt me. And I didn't want to live like that either. So as soon as my jaw was opened up, it took 9 weeks closed to recuperate. I had this fear of men. So I went to work at a lumber yard. And I figured, where was I going to see the most men in the shortest amount of time? So I worked there for about 3 weeks. And, you know, there was not a problem that, you know, guys weren't going to hurt me. I got that phobia out of my system. But I did learn that there are a lot of cute construction workers, and they all are very nice.
Okay, single ladies listening to Zone 7. That's some stellar advice right there. Brilliant. Brilliant. But again, I mean, that's you saying, okay, I've got this little issue that I'm afraid of men, not that they're going to attack me, but I mean, I had a bad event with one, so I don't want to put myself in a situation where I could be hurt again. And you go to get a job at a lumber yard where you are surrounded by men. I mean, that's just an awe-inspiring story.
Thank you.
In the next episode, you're going to hear from an icon, and I cannot wait. There are sometimes in this business, your heart just gets pulled into something. It's an absolute honor to welcome former Leon County Sheriff Ken Casares. He never forgot about Kathy. I'm going to end Zone 7 the way that I always do, with a quote. A wise woman wishes to be no one's enemy. A wise woman refuses to be anyone's victim. Maya Angelou. I'm Cheryl McCollum, and this is Zone 7.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.